If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now.
I love your show. I just love it.
He calls it as he sees it.
So my daughter turned me on to you, and you're awesome.
Live from the Palm Springs iHub.
You know, as a businessman, I spend my entire day, I work hard for the, you know, make money for my family. So I don't have the time to invest and to know what's going on. You know, and that's why I listen to your show, because you tell it exactly the way it is.
This is the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio.
Well, it's true. This is the Russ Betts Show, and I'm Russ Betts. Good to have you here. Wow, it was a busy morning this morning. You know, I woke up as I do it, keep the phone next to me, and I kind of wake up, roll over, pick up the phone, turn it on, and there's a Facebook post, and the Facebook post says, when you have to hire Bill Cosby's attorney, you know you're in trouble. Now, it was just one of these little, you know, short blurbs, no explanation of what it was about. I maybe kind of had an idea, but really wasn't sure. I've been following these too closely. So I just quickly replied, oh my God, OMG, what did you do? And then I look back and it says, well, I certainly did not incite an insurrection on the U.S. Capitol. So apparently this person's talking about the impeachment, and apparently Trump has now hired an attorney. I haven't been following it that close, but Trump's hired an attorney, and apparently it's Bill Cosby's attorney. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I'm not that interested, but somehow I got sucked into this conversation. And I wrote, oh, that, they are still fixated on Trump. Oh my God, that unleashed a firestorm of comments. There's some people out there. I thought that was over with. I really did. I know my sister had a real bad case of not liking Trump. And it was a lot of arguments in the family. My mom and her wouldn't talk to each other, and, you know, but I thought, all right, the election's over, that's all settled down, and people kind of got it out of their system, but it just keeps going on. Like the person who's, obviously, the first thing they post in the morning is something about Trump, and apparently it's on the minds of the U.S. Senate, because there's impeachment hearings coming up, and, you know, I had 4 years of listening to impeachment on day one. Was impeachment. Impeach Trump. We're going to impeach Trump. I had a really good friend of mine, a council colleague. He was on last week, Joe McKee. And I said, Joe, you know, there's no way he's going to be impeached. Just look at, no, he's going to be impeached. He's going to be impeached. I said, well, there's no way it'll be, even if he is impeached, there's no way it's going to be successful in the Senate. He needed 2/3 vote in the Senate. He says, oh, really? Okay, well, 2/3 vote in the Senate, well, that's a pretty high bar to meet. Yeah, it's like the way the framers of the Constitution put it, so that politics wouldn't just decide you're going to get rid of a president and overthrow the will of the voters, that it would actually be, you know, a pretty high bar set, like 2/3. And I had Joe on last week, and he was insisting. He wanted me to bet him. He wanted me to bet. It was a bet where I bet $1, he bets, or I bet 100, he bets $1, but that's how sure he was of his position that Trump's going to be impeached. I'm going to tell you right now, Trump has been impeached again, I guess, by the House. That happened before he left office. And now they're going to put him on trial in the Senate through another. Okay, anyhow. So it's the same 2/3 margin is there. It's not going anywhere, people. It's not going anywhere. And you can make all the commotion you want about it, but it's no more likely that he's going to have these articles of impeachment prevail in the Senate than they were 4 years ago when they were talking about it. It's just not going to happen. So anyhow, I wrote, oh, that, they're still fixated on Trump. And somebody wrote back, I think fixated on Trump is an interesting way to put it, since they were fixated on Hillary's emails for 3 years after she lost the election, with an LOL. And that's making the case that, Hillary Clinton was, they hounded her for a long time, so what's the problem with hounding Trump? And I guess the author of that comment must agree that it was okay to hound Hillary Clinton for 3 years, but I don't think that's wise. Anytime somebody brings that up, well, you know, the same thing you did, I always ask, was that what you, do you approve of that? Is that what you're saying? It was okay? No, it's not okay. Okay, but, so what you're saying is it wasn't okay that they did it then, but it is okay that they're doing it now because they did it then. And it just goes back and forth, and all it comes down to is partisan. And then somebody else came out and mentioned Benedict Arnold. Arnold's name was quickly became a byword in the United States for treason and betrayal because he led the British Army in battle against the very men whom he had once commanded. And that's true. Benedict Arnold was a pretty bad guy. If you're on the... Well, he's actually a bad guy all the way around. Nobody likes a traitor to begin with. Even the side you go to, they go, hey, this guy did it once. Is he going to do it again? Anyhow, yeah, there's Benedict Arnold. And then somebody else said, Russell, fixated? Really? He's going to be on trial for trying to overthrow the government. Yeah, it ain't over yet. Then that was their opinion that, you know, that he's going to be on trial for trying to overthrow the government. Well, it ain't over yet, but actually it is over because 45 senators already voted and indicated that they're not going to convict. So it's over, okay? It's over except for the show, and it's a political show at this point because it's going nowhere. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I agree or disagree with anything that's going on. I'm just telling you, very objectively speaking, it's not going anywhere except for political theater. That's what we have this week is political theater. And, you know, those of you who think, oh, this is real serious, what happened? Okay, well, you know, I got that part, but, and we'll get into some of that detail in just a little bit, but, anyhow, so this conversation went on And I just go, wow, I'm sorry I even posted a little quip on there because I really didn't mean to get into all that because really it's just not occupying my attention. It's just there's nothing here I see that's going anywhere, so what's the point? But I've said that already. So anyhow, then I go on to my browsing and I come across somebody else has taken up the same subject. And this is a conversation out of Inland Empire. Councilmember Steve Manos of Lake Elsinore. And he was apparently taking up the subject, responding to somebody. And he's just there posting it himself, just like I do. I post as myself. I don't attribute that to me as a council member. And for those of you who don't know, my day job is as a council member on the city of Desert Hot Springs. So if you hear me talking about something in public or public policy or some issue on there, that's the reason for that. But... apparently some organization called the Klein Center said that something was an insurrection. And then the case gets made now. Was it really an insurrection? And, you know, based on their definition of a council candidate getting into a fist fight with a poll worker would be considered a coup these days. You know, was it really a coup? The Post actually talked about what's going on in Miramar, where the military has indeed seized power. And I'm going to read this quickly. It's just a short little article here. But, I mean, the whole point of posting this article was to put into contrast that those of you who are calling this an insurrection or a coup, well, here's what an insurrection or a coup looks like. Miramar's military seized power on Monday in a coup against the democratically elected government of Nobel Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, that's her name, who was detained along with other leaders of her National League for Democracy Party in the early morning raids. The army said it had carried out the detentions in response to election fraud, handing power to Military Chief General Ming Aung Hlaing, and imposing a state of emergency for 1 year. According to the statement the military issued. So here it is. The government is, they say there's election fraud, so the military came in, and the general is taken over for a year. Now, Suu Kyi's party said she had called on people to protest against the military takeover, and quoting comments it said had been written in anticipation of a coup. The coup derails years of Western-backed efforts to establish democracy in Myanmar, also known as Burma, where neighboring China has a powerful influence, according to this article. And the generals made their move hours before parliament had been due to sit for the first time since the landslide win in November. And... phone and internet connections in the capital and the main commercial center were disrupted, and state television went off the air. and the leaders of that party were detained. So there you go. So now you got people making the case here in response to this posting of this article. That basically, the article was posted and said, hi, you know, you want to talk about a coup, here's a coup. So a writer responding said, the Klein Center project on coups is much more reputable than a partisan interpretation of a coup attempt by one's own party. And in your own post that used the specific term attempted coup to try and draw comparisons between two events and downplay January 6th. Right? So is January 6th being downplayed? So whether a coup attempt is successful or not doesn't change the gravity or egregiousness of what happened. That is true. And if somebody's in the Capitol with handcuffs, zip-tie handcuffs, looking for people, to public leaders, to capture and take, well, you certainly have people who are interested in insurrection. Whether it was a serious effort or not, I don't know. But it wasn't the military stepping in there. And it wasn't, you know, like the chances of impeachment succeeding, the chances of this were pretty weak. Remember, everybody say, all people say, what are you going to do? You know, when they're talking about the Second Amendment, they say, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to fight this government? I mean, if you got guns of guns in the world, you're not going to be able to beat the U.S. military. And at the same time, somebody's telling us it's a serious insurrection attempt when people who have gone in there with zip ties, zip tie handcuffs. That's serious. Don't get me wrong. Breaking into the Capitol with zip ties, hunting down elected leaders of the Congress to tie them up and take them hostage. That's serious. No doubt about that. But was it a coup? Was it insurrection? You know, only by the very loosest of definitions. And, you know, and the person here, they try and give an example. They say, this is, here's essentially what happened. Your Honor, I didn't successfully rob the bank. I was just inside it with a gun, and I killed five people, including an officer. And I had a video chanting, hang Mike Pence, with gallows out front. And my shaman mask was so funny to stop using the silly words bankruptcy. And I don't get their comment there, but the point was, is they're saying that five people were killed. And, you know, I looked that up. Have you heard that? Did you hear that five people were killed during that insurrection? I mean, it's a way to try and, I think, give it more weight. So I went to the New York Times to try and find out who actually was killed in this big coup. Now, Brian Sicknick, who was, he served in the Air National Guard, and according to the New York Times, is dreaming of becoming a police officer. And he joined the Capitol Police Force in 2008, and he died a day after he was overpowered and beaten by rioters from the mob at the Capitol. He was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, went to his office, didn't feel well, went to the hospital and died. Tragic. There's four other people that died. We will get to those when we get back. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio, and happy to have you with us, and we'll pick up more of this conversation on the other side of this break.
Live from Palm Springs.
Hey, everyone, listen to this, please.
10 years ago, you know, this was a thriving, booming economy, but we're not going to that extent. This thing isn't a total crash.
I want to tell you, you got the radio voice, my friend.
This is the Russ Betts Show.
Wow, that's really honorable.
Now, here's Russ Betts on iHub Radio.
All right, so before my morning cup of coffee, I reached for the phone, opened it up. There's a Facebook post, a pretty innocuous one. Something about somebody getting an attorney, Bill Cosby's attorney. I didn't understand it. I posted something back real quick. And that set off a firestorm of responses. And I'm sitting here going, and all it was, I think all he said was, are we still talking about Trump? He's out of office. And, of course, there's people who are making the case that Well, there was an insurrection that took place, and he called for that insurrection. So that's what he's being tried for in the Senate. I guess it's come up this week. I'm sorry. If you want to go follow all that, like the latest soap opera, the OJ trial, everything else going on, go ahead. And maybe that means I don't think it's that serious. I do think it was very serious what took place. I listened carefully to what Trump said, and I did not hear the words go on down there and bust into the Capitol. I've heard other words like peacefully express your opinion. And I know those of you who are really triggered over this would go, oh, you're defending Trump. I'm like, no, I'm just saying what I heard. And if you hadn't heard the speech, go listen to it because his words were there. Now, I know it might be a little difficult to hear that speech because he was cut off by all the major networks, everybody else. So, if it is true that he was trying to tell people, calm down, don't do this, peacefully go home, which is where his words, go home peacefully. If those were his words, nobody got to hear him because he was cut off on every media platform he had to issue those statements and those words. So, yeah, the bottom line is there's going to be a big show on this coming up, and they're going to be making a big deal out of it. And it's all for political not because maybe it's political theater, but the outcome of this article's impeachment is he's not going to be impeached. That'll be it. And all you're going to have is he's not going to be thrown. He can't be thrown out of office. He's already out of office. So, well, whatever it is, he can't be convicted in the Senate on the articles of impeachment because 45 senators have already said they're not going to convict, which I'm sure that's going to set off a firestorm somewhere as well. How can they possibly come to a conclusion if they're supposed to be a jury? And the conclusion they're coming to is that this is a partisan effort. And I had Joe McKee on here. He's going, well, no, it's not partisan. They had 10 Republicans who sided with the Democrats on this one. So that makes it bipartisan. So 95% of the Republicans say no, and that makes it a bipartisan event. It doesn't, I hope people go back and listen to themselves. Now, one of the charges that keeps coming up, I keep hearing about, and I admit I haven't followed this as closely as I could because I'm real busy with a whole bunch of other stuff going on in my life. And I just haven't been hanging on this one. But what I kept hearing was that five people were killed. And in the conversations, I went down this rabbit hole of conversation on this issue and got sidetracked into other conversations about the same thing. I came across this comment that said somebody, five people were killed. And I'd been hearing that. And I go, well, that's pretty serious if five people were killed. We had a Air National Guard man, Brian Sicknick, and he was killed. He was beaten by rioters and hit over the head with a fire extinguisher, went back to his office, didn't feel well, checked him into the hospital, and then he died. And so that seems to be a direct result of the riots, the insurrection. But there was four other people. And the most famous of the four is Ashley Babbitt, who was a 35-year Air Force veteran from Southern California who was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer as she tried to climb through a broken window leading into the Capitol building. And she got shot in the neck, and you saw the video of her getting hauled away if you watched it. Now, another person was Kevin Greeson. And Kevin Greeson was 55 years old. He's from Athens, Alabama. And he was standing in a throng of fellow Trump loyalists, meaning he was a Trump supporter, on the west side of the Capitol when he suffered a heart attack and fell to the sidewalk. And he was talking to his wife at the time. So one of the insurrectionists is on the phone talking to his wife, and he has a heart attack, and they take him to the hospital, and he dies. So that's one of the deaths related to the insurrection. That's a stretch that's related to the insurrection, but okay. Then you have Roseanne Boyland. And Miss Boyland appears to have been killed in a crush of fellow rioters during their attempt to fight through a police line. So there's this big rush of people. She apparently falls and gets trampled and crushed, and that kills her. Okay. And then you have Benjamin Phillips. And he was a Trump supporter who died of a stroke in Washington. And he apparently was at a hotel, and his friends who accompanied him to the Capitol told the newspaper that he was walking to the hospital and he had a stroke the night before, or sometime had a stroke, and but the exact circumstances of the death are still unclear. Now, all these accounts, these five deaths that I keep hearing about, came to us by Jack Healy of the New York Times, originally published on January 11th and updated on January 16th, so there's some further thought that's gone into this one. It's not that old. So, there's a lot of... All right, I'm going to be done with that. One of these days, we'll be through talking about Trump. And we're going to move on and talk about Janet Yellen when we get back. Okay, this is Russ Betts on iHeartRadio.
Read about it tomorrow. See you tonight. Hear it all day today. If it's happening in the Coachella Valley, it's front and center now on iHub Radio.
No way. That's incredible.
Now, here's Russ Betts.
It's true. I'm back. This is Russ Betts here on the Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio. Good to have you with us. I'm trying to figure out where to go here today. I mean, you've heard about the GameStop story, and I don't know if I want to get into that one ad nauseum, but it's certainly a David and Goliath story. You've got all these investors on a forum, and a Reddit forum called Wall Street Bets, all got together and decided to drive up the price of the stock of GameStop and a few other things. And apparently GameStop had been positioned 140% negative position by a hedge fund that was betting their stock price would go down. And that's how hedge funds make money. When they sell short, if the price goes down, they make money. If the price goes up, they lose. Now, I don't know how much of a risk they figured it would be to bet on GameStop. It wasn't trading very high. It didn't have very far to fall. And if it went up, it wasn't going to go up very much. And, well, the wins and losses of a hedge fund, it seemed like a good thing to do. Well, all of a sudden, you've got all these small investors pour in enough money to drive the price of GameStop from, I think it was $40 up to $400 a share. And all of a sudden, a hedge fund who wasn't calculating that finds itself in big, big trouble. Billions of dollars. To the point it had to borrow billions of dollars to get itself out of trouble. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there with that one. You had the one trading outlet. It's a free app on your phone you can get. It's called Robinhood. It's supposed to be like, you know, Robinhood helping the little guy get ahead in the stock market. And I guess it was doing that because a whole bunch of investors were making money. Well, it turns out that Robinhood was tied to a hedge fund called Melvin and Citadel, and that had a stake in Robinhood. And so Robinhood said, well, that's it. We're going to cut off trading on GameStop. But not all trading, just people's ability to buy. You can still sell. So, of course, what happens when you sell? When you sell, the price goes down. And when you buy, the price goes up. And so, you know, sell, sell, sell. The price is dropping. Sell, hurry, sell. Well, they were letting everybody sell. They weren't letting them buy. And effectively, that took the price from 400 down to around 120, 130, which was a whole lot better for this hedge fund to try and clear its position at 130 than at 140. So you had some serious manipulation of the market by Robinhood, who would not allow people to buy that stock. And then it was worse than that, because you had Robinhood has an app, and as we all know, when you go look at apps in an app store, you can rate it as a good app or a bad app. And so a whole bunch of people were a little upset that they weren't able to buy via this app where they had signed up, left a one-star rating. And apparently 100,000 of them left a one-star rating. And so many people left a negative rating for the app in response to them being cut off that it dropped the app's rating from 4.3 down to one star, from 4.3 stars down to one star. Well, Google intervened and says, well, that's not right. We can't have that. And so they totally wiped out 100,000 negative reviews and the app's rating went back up to 4.3. Well, why did Google intervene in that? And now you got the Washington Post is out with a story that says the good guys in the GameStop story, they're asking that question, who are the good guys in the GameStop story? Well, they're saying it's the hedge funds and the short sellers. Really? I mean, these hedge funds have never... Okay, you know, I'm sitting here looking at this article. I don't even know if I want to get into all this, but they're trying to make the case for the hedge fund. There's only one other person who I know that's made the case for a hedge fund. It was a late night comedian whose name is slipping my mind. I don't want to get it wrong. It wasn't Stephen Colbert. It was the other guy, the guy that's not funny on late night. He's on the Tonight Show. I think he's on. Anyhow, why am I drawing this blank? I should have wrote it down. All right. So now I don't know where the stock is now. I could look it up now. That'd probably be an interesting thing to do here. Let's see where GameStop price is at. GameStop stock price. Are you looking it up with me on your phone as you're listening? Let's see what we got going here. So it's now at 225, but it's way up from where it was. I mean, it was at 328 on the close, and it dipped down to 213. Back up, rally a little bit, and it's been slowly falling, and it's at 227 currently. And there's a little bit more time on trading to go. Markets close at 2 o'clock Pacific time, I guess. So they got a little bit more time to go. You got these people on this Reddit forum saying, hang in there. You know what? It's only a couple $100. I lose it to try and stick it to these hedge funds. That's good because I know that our money has cost them billions of dollars. And so there you go. But apparently the Washington Post... is making the case that that the GameStop speculators are the problem. The people who decided they were going to go buy it. And I even had somebody suggesting it must be the Russians. You know, does anybody believe this stuff anymore? The Russians. I got people around me here. I better be quiet. They're going to come barging in the studio. No, it's the Russians. It's the Russians. Remember that movie? What was it? The Russians are coming. Remember that? And the old town's in a frenzy. The Russians are coming. The Russians. It's the Russians. Oh, my God. All right. Where do I want to go here? You know, there's some interesting news here around the Coachella Valley, so we might as well get to that one. You have a new Palm Springs city manager, and he says he is ready to listen and learn. Yeah, that's interesting. What's he say? He's saying you need to subscribe to the Desert Sun to read it. Desert Sun has a paywall. And, I'm trying to figure out how many times do I have to sign up and pay to be able to actually get into the Desert Sun. So we're going to move on from that one. All we get out of this one is the headline. The new Palm Springs city manager says he's ready to listen and learn. I wonder if KESQ has got something on this for us. I bet you they do. Let's see. Well, they've changed their page, and I don't want to be too critical of them, but it must be the millennials that are out there that whose minds work differently than the rest of ours, because I like seeing a nice, neat list instead of a jumbled-up mess of big pictures and trying to figure out, my eyes just wandering all over this page trying to find out what these stories are. And nope, nothing here about the new city manager in Palm Springs. So KSQ doesn't have that one. I don't know if KMIR does or not, but we'll move on. There's other stuff in our pile here. What do we got here? The Keystone Pipeline is closed. And that's putting a lot of people out of work. And I know there's people cheering that, but there's a whole lot of people that aren't. And one of them is a guy named Jeff Boyette Sr., who is a Keystone Pipeliner. Is an article by Jeff Boyette, and he published this letter. It says, today is a heavy day. It's hard to believe something I love so much can be taken away by people that have no idea exactly how I make my living. They have no idea the pain and misery and sacrifice that comes with this job. This job kept me from being a bleep bag. Like a lot of other lower-class kids I grew up with, this job kept me off drugs and out of jail. This job moved me out of the slums. This job gave me a blow. this job gave a below average simple man that started out with nothing but bad credit and an old rickety truck the ability to rise above a lot of his peers. I didn't have to get a government loan that I can't pay back for an education I'll never use. All I had to do is put in my time and give it my best. I worked hard to get where I'm at. Nothing is free or given. You earn it, every damn bit of it. You work 7-12s, no matter the weather. You miss holidays, birthdays, ball games, and all the other things 9-to-5ers enjoy. These guys are off on a pipeline, mostly living in fifth wheels away from home for long periods of time. He says the money is good. It's not about the money. It's the feeling you get when you and your buds are wringing wet, covered in mud after a 16-hour shift doing a tie-in. It's knowing you belong to something much bigger than yourself. And then he goes on to say, Mr. President, how dare you take that away from me? You are a man that has done nothing but live off my taxpayers. How dare you sell us out? How dare you shut down whole communities and make us dependent on foreign oil again? How dare you take food from our families' mouths? And, you know, he had other people you can see when you go look through the posted videos. The guy in his car, he says, man, I just bought this car 6 months ago. Everything was going good. I got this job. It pays me really well. I'm taking care of my family. And I go into work today and they say, hi, sorry, no work today. You're laid off. And he's going, oh, he's going to have to sell his car. That's the first thing he says for sure. And then he's going, the next thing is I'm going to make my mortgage payment. And then there's another guy on there who's actually crying after doing an interview. He breaks down and starts crying. He's very emotional, talking about how he had to notify 200 guys that they're all getting laid off in his crew. And I guess it's 20 guys in his crew that they're all getting laid off. And they're looking at him like, wow, really? We kind of heard something about this. You know, they're out there working. They didn't know what happened. But it all comes down to President Biden signing an executive order to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. And so that costs a lot of jobs. I checked in with some of the labor groups who I know here in the area, asked them their reaction. I didn't seem to get an overwhelming concern about the jobs being lost out there on the pipeline. I'm going to check in with them more. I wasn't quite sure I understood the reaction. I thought there'd be a little bit more concern about fellow union jobs getting lost. They do have a member of Congress, Paul Gosar, who says he's upset by the situation. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's another story. Hold on. Oh, that's, you know what? That was in the wrong pile. That was tied to Robin Hood. I might get to his letter. Anyhow, there's lots of really good union jobs disappearing with the Keystone Pipeline disappearing. And there's environmental concerns, but I understand the alternative is that you can have trains rolling down the tracks and transporting oil by train rather than pipeline. And maybe that's environmentally more sensitive or not, I don't know. But I think the idea is not trains versus pipelines. I think the idea is to just shut off all the oil together to try and do it. The pipeline makes it more efficient for delivery of oil to the refinery, and thus makes oil more attractive. So to make oil less attractive, make sure it's harder to get it to the source where it's being refined and delivered. Is that it? I don't know. We're going to move on. What do we got going on here? Well, with all this stuff going on, you know, some things you can't say on this microphone because we go out over YouTube, and if I say anything on here that YouTube doesn't like, then our channel can get a strike. So, you know, we got to be careful. There's censorship going on. But I can sit there and say that if you're tired of all that going on, there's different places that you can go. There's an alternative to Google Chrome. It's called Brave. There's an alternative to Google. It's called DuckDuckGo. There's an alternative to YouTube. It's called Rumble. Well, there was an alternative to Twitter. It was called Parler, but they shut that down. And there's an alternative to Facebook called MeWe. And we'll get into some more of that when we get back. This is Russ Betts on iHub Radio, coming to you from these beautiful, brand new iHub studios. And I'm going to post a picture on social media. I'm going to go back to social media after that firestorm and at least post something non-controversial. Okay, we're back.
thank you for educating so many of us. I think you're the best.
We are the people in your neighborhood.
With great power comes great responsibility.
This is The Russ Betts Show.
You're listening to The Russ Betts Show on iHub Radio. It is about 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, and Russ will be back in just a moment. I told you he'd be back in a moment. Here he is.
All right, we're back. We're back. Had to race out to the car to get something and then realized that, the clock is ticking. All right. Sunline's got a new transit service going. It's called Sunride. And if you haven't heard about it, it's basically an Uber-Lyft type arrangement that'll make it a whole lot easier for people to get to where they're going in the Coachella Valley. And it's not an advertisement for Sunline, although it's sounding like that as I'm telling you about it. It's actually quite an interesting story. They'll be using the taxis, and for $2, you basically use an app. It's all app-based, the same as Lyft and Uber. It's nobody can call. You want a ride, you get on your phone, and you put in your address, say, hi, pick me up. They'll show up there, and for $2, basically, they're going to take you to the nearest bus stop. And then from there, you can pick the bus up and get on the rest of the way to where you're going. They're not going to take you from your house if you're in, say, Desert Edge. They're not going to take you from a house down to Indio. They're going to take you from a house to the nearest bus stop. And now, if the bus stop happens to be a store nearby, say, the Stater Brothers in Desert Hot Springs from Desert Edge, well, then you can go from Desert Edge to Stater Brothers, and then from Stater Brothers back, and you basically got Uber Lyft style service. And so it's a new rollout program. It's in its pilot stage right now, and there's three areas that are under this pilot program. It's just launched. It's called Sunride. And first one is the Desert Edge, which I told you about, just serving the Desert Edge community, get those folks closer. The bus line doesn't run so close to them, so this is a way to help them. It runs everywhere. There's a bus line. It's just to help you get from your house to the bus more easily. And then the other one is in the Mecca Thermal area, and then they have one on the Cook Street corridor that they're testing. So there's three pilot programs, and there's some things to be worked out. It's a pilot program. It's not the full rollout. I've had calls come into me saying, hey, what about this and what about that, and people are learning it and understanding it and having suggestions. And, well, the reason for a pilot program is to work out those kinks. It should be, all you do is go to your phone and download the app. And it's just that easy. Go to the App Store, and Apple Store, or the Google Play, and you can get it. So, interesting there. And interesting development. It's now, right now, the Sunline, like all transit agencies, is operating on a COVID-altered route schedule, and which means that things aren't quite running as they should be or could be under normal circumstances, but what in this world is right now. And but once it is fully on board, you'll be able to, your fare, wherever you're going, will start when they pick you up at your house. And then you will get to the bus stop, and then from the bus stop, you'll go on away, and same any fare take you wherever you want to go, one way fare. So if you're going to Indio, it'll go from $2 to $3. You really go to from your house to Indio for $3, and so it's a pilot program. See how it works. Hear people using it. Work out the kinks and see if it's going to work. Now also, I'm driving in through Cathedral City, and I see all the signs up now. There's a campaign going on. Yes on B, no on B, or no on B, yes on B, whichever way you want to read those. But the boulevard is loaded with these signs, and the election is March 2nd is the last day to vote. I think we have the same situation going on where you can vote all the way up till March 2nd. And what it is it's a short-term rental You know, you pay people to take their house and turn it into a hotel in the middle of a residential neighborhood. And there's a little lot of people who said, well, that's fine, except, you know, I've got five of these on my street, and they're a constant problem. They're causing all this noise and commotion. And so the Cathedral City Council had banned them and now putting it out to an initiative for the voters to decide rather than the council just doing it unilaterally. And you can see all the commotion online and the conversations that are going back and forth. But the pitch from the no on B is it's bad for our city. And the people for yes on B say it's bad for our neighborhoods to continue to allow what I thought was a residential street to be turned into Hotel Row. And you've got a lot of people who are buying houses now to turn them into hotels. And the problem is there's noise, there's complaints, and it just doesn't seem to be what a lot of people are wanting to have happen. Now, I live next to somebody's using their home as a hotel, as an Airbnb-type rental. And it was quiet. It was never any more than the noise that you would hear, you know, from any neighbor. In fact, last night my neighbors were having quite a party and they were playing the music. And, you know, some people get upset by that. I just go, hey, man, that's life. But if it's constant and it's across, you know, the all night, every night, loud music, a lot of commotion, people excited. I mean, they're coming down to party. They're not coming down to be quiet, sitting at home, just plunking around on the internet. They're renting a house in another city to go and have a good time, hang out outside, swim in the pool, splash, talk loud, drink, make noise, make music. And even if it's not excessive next door to you, it's just not a good thing. At least you don't think so. Now, the case has been made as, well, it's raising your home value by having this extra influence on the real estate market. And that all depends on what you consider home value, because the value of a home is also the peace and enjoyment. If you don't plan to sell your house, if you're going to be happy there and you want to stay there, well, your home value has gone way down if you've got this raging party next door to you all the time. Now, I, like I said, the one next to me was peaceful and quiet. But if it hadn't been, I think I would have taken some steps. I watch people and I think they're just way too timid sometimes. I mean, they're complaining, they go down to the city council, complain as they should, and but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe more along says, I get out my speakers. I got a really nice set of JBL D130s with horn tweeters. These things throw out a lot of sound, hooked up to my stereo. And I think I would just point them at the house and I would play a song, and not a song that anybody liked. Maybe I'm thinking of, you know, you're at Disneyland and you go past that ride, It's a Small World, and then that song sticks in your head forever. So you start blasting It's a Small World at this, and all of a sudden the reviews for this house are going to be, hey, go right here. This guy, crazy loon neighbor, is playing It's a Small World really loud. And if the police come by, you say, hey, you know what? Glad you showed up. I'll turn down the music when they turn down the music. Just way too timid. Anyhow, they haven't been timid. They're now going to do a yes on B, no on B, and we'll see what comes of that one. All right, and then they had the same situation where they're Dodger Stadium. You hear about that? They were blocking the entrance to Dodger Stadium. Hundreds and hundreds of cars were stopped from going forward because 50 people were blocking the gate. I'm sitting there going, well, why doesn't somebody go around all those cars that are stopped there and say, hey, guys, you want to go move these people out of the way? I mean, just push them out of the way. All right, we're back. This is Russ Betts on iHeartRadio.